Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, it ease my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, happy together with Pep Talk on Tuesday morning, and it's The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Great song. I like that song. I love that song.
It was his request. He slipped me a piece of paper.
I just like it, and you don't really think about who's singing it. It's the Turtles.
I know. That's such a... There was the Beatles and the Turtles.
The Beatles and the Turtles. And the leader of the Turtles passed away this week.
I saw that.
That's why we need to play
Mark Volman. And yeah. I think he was with some other groups as well, right?
I'm just going to say, he did a lot of
this was not his only
and 70s
hit.
Rock and roll stuff. But, what great music that is.
And I love that song. I haven't heard it forever. And here I know all the lyrics.
I know it. And I was waiting for the kicker to come in.
You got to get to the
I was going to say, Meg, it's time for a break.
No, you have to get to the big chorus. I'm sorry. You just have to.
That's fine. This is The Garden Line. But we are happy together.
Yes.
Here on The Garden
Line. Mike and
Meg
in the morning. How about that?
And we're happy with all our listeners who will participate and send us Texas with their questions.
Yes.
And we certainly welcome that.
And we have a whole hour to talk about gardening and what's happening this fall. So text in 850-437-1620. Mike is our gardening expert for sure, and he would love to help you.
Very good. Well, it's just nice to be with you. We've got a lot of things to talk about. We need to continue our discussion of what to do in the fall because we're
in it.
We're practically there. We're almost there. The weather is absolutely fabulous. Cool in the morning.
So nice to walk out this morning.
Yeah, exactly. And for our listeners who are guests to Pensacola, who are visiting here, the water temperature at the Gulf is 84. It's perfect.
It's so beautiful
out
there.
Perfect day for the beach. So if you have plans to do other things, go to the beach today.
Yes.
You can do other things later. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it's just a beautiful day. Now, what we've got to do, of course, and we say this and have been saying it now for the last couple of weeks, we've got to keep our eyes on the tropics. The tropics are kind of playing with us right now.
They I'm highly suspicious because it's very quiet.
Very suspicious, very quiet. Mm-hmm. And we are just about at the height of hurricane season.
I mean, usually by now we've at least had a couple of depressions or tropical storms or something. It makes me nervous that we haven't had anything.
Oh, yeah, we got past my birthday where I usually spend my birthday hunkering down.
Did you have a nice birthday, by the way?
Oh, it was fabulous. Oh. It was just fabulous, and I just had a great time. I did want to thank Catherine for recognizing my birthday. She is so special, and I really appreciate all that she does for the show and for me.
Yes, and she's been sending me stuff too, so thank you, Catherine.
She is so great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I'm a little suspicious of what's going on. It's just a little too quiet for my taste.
Yeah, we don't want to take our eye off the ball. Have your hurricane kit
ready. I mean, I'm grateful.
Oh, yes, and just get ready to do all the things in your yard that you've got to do. So it can happen almost overnight. So
right, well, okay.
Just keep our eye on it.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
So far, so good.
Wouldn't it be something if we got through the whole season and didn't have one Florida or Gulf storm?
It would be incredible. And you know what that tells me? I'll take a little snowstorm in the way. If that's what is the reason for this, then I'll take it.
Snowstorm. I like the snowstorm.
We only had it for a couple. If that's what it is, we had a snowstorm, so now we're not going to have any other storms. I'm in. That works for me.
Exactly. It's a great place to live.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, what did Vince Wibbs always say? Oh, this is a place where thousands live the way millions wish they could.
Yeah, absolutely. And look how lucky we are.
We are lucky. No doubt about it.
Yep. All right, sir. What you got on the agenda this morning?
A couple things to start off. I did want to start off with something we've talked about a lot, but it kind of folds into our fall fertilizer, and that's soil testing. We really need to concentrate on that if and only if you have Zoysia or St. Augustine grass. Bermuda too, but we don't really talk about that very much. That's a golf course grass.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got St. Augustine or you have Zoysia, you need to think about your soil testing. Get a soil test to find out what the pH is. So when the pH is kind of a scientific number, but in general, if your soil test comes back with the number 6 and above, 6 or 7, or below 6 in the 5s, you need to take different action. If you've got Zoysia and St. Augustine and your pH is in the 5s, you need to put lime on your yard, because what that does, you put lime on your St. Augustine and Zoysia, and what that does, that raises the pH. And when the pH is at that number, the grass can use the ingredients in the fertilizer to help your yard.
That's amazing. I've never heard anyone talk about pH in grass
before. If the pH is off, then you've got a problem. Now, centipede, you don't need to worry about lime. And here's why. In Pensacola, we have an acid soil.
Mm-hmm.
That's below 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that's what centipede likes. It's a native soil. It likes an acid soil. It's like azaleas or gardenias or those type of plants that also like blueberries, that also like an acid soil. So centipede, put that off to the side. If you have centipede, don't even worry about pH. Don't even worry about lime. But St. Augustine and Zoysia, yes, go ahead and buy your lime. The best lime to buy, in my opinion, the only one to buy is granular dolomite lime. Put it on maybe around 30 to 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet. It's pretty heavy, but go ahead and put that on your yard. Now, to know what your pH is, you can do a couple of things. One, you can work with the County Extension Service.
Mm-hmm.
They will tell you how to send your soil sample off to get the pH. Go to Word or Turf. They've got a whole program called a soil kit that will tell you.
I was wondering if you could get a kit somewhere.
You buy it. It's really nice. And then it all comes on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes via email. Anyway, they can tell you how to do the soil test to get your number. It's really important. But if you're a little bit like me and a little bit like Meg, and your life is kind of busy, and you don't have time to dig up that little soil sample and take it to the county agent, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You kind of guess. What I recommend is, if you have not limed your yard and you have St. Augustine and Zoysia, in 2 years, do it. Just do it as a matter of keeping the yard healthy and getting that pH right. So every 2 years, and this is another one that's real important. We've talked about the winterizer fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
and even spring fertilizer, any fertilizer that you're putting on your yard, always put 2 weeks between liming and fertilizing.
Oh, okay.
Because chemically, they kind of tie each other up,
and
neither one of them do a whole lot of good. So in any event, that's the soil test story. A lot of us are going to say, well, I'm just going to do it every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
If your yard looks like $1 million and you're just so proud of it and you haven't limed in 2 years, maybe stretch it to 3.
But
you do need to do it. You need to get that pH up above 6
mm-hmm.
for St. Augustine and Zoysia.
Okay, well, we just got a text in along this topic. Is it too late in the year to apply fertilizer to centipede?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We've been talking about that, about putting winterizer fertilizer. It's break time.
Yes, it is.
So let's take that break and let's come back and answer that question, because that may be one of the most important questions that we get asked today.
All right.
So we'll get into that in just a minute.
Okay, this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. We'll be back right after the break. If you've got a question, 850-437-1620. And we're back with The Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Got lots of questions that are rolling in this morning. So we're going to go back to that question we just had right before the break.
Yeah, is it too late mm-hmm. to fertilize centipede?
Right.
And it is absolutely not too late. As a matter of fact, the timing is perfect. we start talking about fertilizing centipede grass in August, late August. And so it needs to be done August, September, if you will. A lot of folks say, oh, I'm going to wait till we get into the cold weather to do it. Well, we really need to do it now. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the answer or the question is, what do I use? And we've talked about this extensively in the last couple of weeks, so I won't go through the whole bit. But you need a fertilizer with a lot of potash. That's always, every fertilizer has three numbers. The last number is potash. You want that number higher than the other two numbers. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm with you. I followed that.
Okay, kind of. Yeah. So what fertilizer should we use? Look for a 10-5-14. You may not find that exact formula, but a good winterizer, and put it on right now, water it in, and go. And if you have centipede, of course, you're not worried about liming. So it's just get that fertilizer on there, keep it watered, and when it gets
dry. So it's not too late.
It's not too late at all. Mm-hmm. So I certainly would do that. Now, what you do not want to do is, and I've seen these on the market, to buy a fertilizer label, winterizer plus weed control. Don't do that. It's the wrong time for the weed control, but it's the right time for the fertilizer. So let's do the fertilizer, and we'll address the weed control a little bit later.
Okay, very good advice. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you've got a question, send it on in at 850-437-1620. Thanks again, Willie, for that question. What was
Thank
a great
you, Willie.
One.
Good to hear from you.
And then Vicki sent in a question. When is the best time to plant a crepe myrtle?
This is an interesting question. The best time, if you want to really go by the books, would be probably January or February when the crepe myrtle is dormant. It has no leaves, and that's a great time to plant really any tree. Now, what you might want to do, though, is if you have a particular color you want, because you get by pink, red, white, lavender, all kind of colors, there's one that so many people like. It's called a watermelon red.
Pretty.
Now, when you go buy that tree in the winter, it's going to have a tag on it that says red.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a particular shade of red, at least go to your garden center and identify that tree now while it's blooming.
Mm.
Now, if it's in a big container, buy it, and then let's plant it after it's dormant and it loses all of its leaves. So that's the best time to plant it, so it will go through less of a shock when it's cold, mm-hmm. cold weather. But be sure you get the right color. And that's the only way to do that, to be sure, is to go look at it and say, that's the one I want, mm-hmm. that's the color I want, and buy it then. Or your local nursery guy could say, I'll hold it for you until the winter, and then I'll come back and get it. You may have to pay for it.
Right, right.
He might hold it for you so you don't have to have it hanging around in a pot at your house. But in any event, that's the deal. The colder weather, when it's dormant, is the best time. But if you want a particular color, think about that now.
Well, Vicki responded to what you just said, and she says, my dad just passed, and this is in honor of him. I want red for his favorite NASCAR driver.
There you go.
Oh,
there
I love
go.
That.
That is so cool.
And there's some pretty red crepe myrtles right on the corner of, I guess it's 17th, and it's either Jackson or Gadsden Street on the right-hand side, but it's lined with red crepe myrtles right now. They're beautiful.
Absolutely. There's some just beautiful gorgeous. Crepe myrtles in East Hill. There really are. You remember Warren Briggs?
Mm-hmm.
Warren Briggs was, to say, a great citizen of Pensacola. He was in politics for a while, in business, in banking. In any event, he made it a personal mission of his to make Pensacola the crepe myrtles city of capital of the South.
Oh.
And just talked about it all the time and encouraged people to plant crepe myrtles. And I think that's one reason we've got so many in Pensacola, because
mm-hmm.
he did a great job of promoting those. And so we can now call ourselves the crepe myrtle capital. I don't know who's listening to that. We can at least say it.
There might be a couple cities out there that are going to contest that. But,
yeah,
you know.
You might have, but, you know, to heck with it.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we got lots of questions rolling in, 850-437-1620. This one says, Professor Wiggins, I love
Ooh,
that.
I,
Professor
well,
Wiggins.
That's a stretch.
Professor Wiggins, when is the best time to trim encore azaleas?
Oh, okay. That's a great question. right after they bloom, mm-hmm. the best time. I would prune them in the spring after they bloom. Now, of course, encore azaleas are great because they live up to their name. They bloom in the spring, as all azaleas do, but they'll bloom again in the fall. I've got a couple of white ones, and I've really enjoyed them. But I would do my heavy pruning if it's needed, right after they bloom in the spring. And I think that would, because then they'll set their buds again and keep going in the fall and in the spring again. Now, one other thing about pruning azaleas
mm-hmm.
is that let's put it this way. The azaleas have their blooms set already. These are not all, just encore. These are all azaleas. Blooms are set for next year.
Okay.
But you want to prune them so your yard looks nice and neat mm-hmm. and pruned. So if you have to give them a light haircut, that's fine. It doesn't hurt the plant, but you still might lose a couple of those blossoms that are set for next year.
Gotcha. Okay, great questions coming in. We're going to take a quick break and come back for more. 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We'll be back on Pep Talk. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got another question for you, Mike.
Go for it.
Let's see. Hello, Eminem's Morning Show. When do you trim crepe myrtles? Thanks.
I like to do mine mm-hmm. in February.
Ooh, okay.
I do. But here we go. All right, Meg, we haven't had to use this term for all summer long.
Uh-oh.
You don't want to commit crepe murder.
The murder. No. I need some kind of scary music
that
to play.
That is scary stuff. Right?
So if you trim them now, you're committing crepe murder?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh,
No. You could probably do it now and get away with it, but it's best to do it when it's dormant. But the trick is, what you don't want to do is to prune them down so far
mm-hmm.
That they just prune them down to the nub, then they just send up little shoots, which some people call witch's broom.
Oh.
So what you have to remember is crepe myrtles will bloom on new wood, on new growth.
Mm-hmm.
So this year's new growth, you only want to cut it back maybe a third, maybe a half, and that's the best way to prune crepe myrtles. Now, if you want a crepe myrtle to just grow to the sky, you don't have to prune it at all. It's gonna, you see them around town that have never ever been pruned.
Huge and
they're
gorgeous.
Huge and yeah. gorgeous. But a nicely pruned crepe myrtle can really look nice and kind of fit in with the rest of your landscape.
Mm-hmm.
But don't cut it back too far. It's not gonna kill it. It'll always live. It's just gonna, this is kind of scientific. It's just gonna look ugly. So don't prune it back too far. But that's what you need to do. You just don't want to have it disfigured, because many times it's hard to get back mm-hmm. to that nice shape once you really prune it back too far. Talking about East Hill.
Yes.
And it's over on 17th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
There's some crepe myrtles that have been there probably since I was in grade
school.
They're
huge. I know where you're talking
about.
But
they've been cut back every year. They're only, when you cut them back, mm-hmm. they only cut them back to about 6 feet. And it's got a big knob there.
Oh.
And the little witch's broom stuff comes out. Very unattractive.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, I think I know what you're talking. I think I've seen those.
Okay, well, I'm not going to tell you where that is.
Okay.
But you need to do it right.
Okay. Well, we had another text that came in, and we'll try to get this in before the break, but it says that we talked on the show about the lack of hummingbirds was discussed recently, and this person says, I finally have two hummingbirds coming to my feeder. This is late in the season for hummingbirds. I'm on Woodbine Road in Pace.
Well, let me tell you what. We got a text last week.
Uh-huh. Somebody else was just seeing them.
On the west side.
Right.
Okay. Now we have one in Pace.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I live kind of on the northeast side of Pensacola. And I have got hummingbirds everywhere.
Really?
They are everywhere. They've gotten to the point now where the hummingbirds will go to the feeder.
Mm-hmm.
And then their buddy, who is sitting over here, he's kind of the sentinel,
uh-huh.
will go and run him off. They'll chase each other around. And you're sitting in the backyard kind of enjoying the mornings
here, mm-hmm.
and those hummingbirds, it's like the Blue Angels flying over your head.
It's like a show, your own show.
It is so cool.
Wow.
It is so cool. So, yes, I think we all now have them. Mm-hmm. But it is late. I was beginning to think we weren't going to have any at all.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, isn't it?
Here they are.
Well, thanks for sending that in. We appreciate all your comments and texts. We're going to take a break for the news here. And then give us your text now at 850-437-1620 with your questions. And we'll answer them in the next half hour when we come back. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. We'll be back right after the news on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
A dime, and you say you belong to me. Release my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine, so happy together.
And it's the Turtles on the Garden Line on Pep Talk this morning.
We welcome the Turtles to the studio.
And we're so happy together,
so happy
me and
to
Mike and all of y'all talking about gardening and the beautiful things in life.
Absolutely.
So we had some comments already about the hummingbirds because we had talked about that. We've been talking about it for a while that they aren't here. And you were telling us about that you see them in your yard.
Oh, they're here. They are here.
Yeah. So we've got a listener just texted in too that we have our friend Steve from Escambia Bay says we have at least a dozen hummingbirds throughout the day now. They are even eating while I also, let's see, they're eating, let me get this right. They are even eating while I sit on the deck buzzing me.
That is so cool.
Really
that
neat.
That is so cool. That is great. Steve, so thanks.
So when the world makes you crazy, just go out and watch the hummingbirds. How about that?
That is pretty good advice,
right?
To be honest with you.
Just take a moment.
You're absolutely
and
right.
And go in the garden.
Exactly. Okay.
All right. So we've been talking a lot about crepe myrtles, talking about soil fertilizer, and
let's talk about the state tree. Do you know what it is?
It's not a crepe myrtle?
No, it's not.
Is it a citrus?
No, it is not.
Oh, I'm so out to left field. Okay, here we go.
It is a
edumacate me.
It's a sable palm. Some people call it a palmetto palm. Some people call it a cabbage palm.
Right.
And the reason I bring it up is I had a little experience here where I had a good friend who lives downtown who had a 10-foot sable palm.
Okay.
And
that's big.
It's big. It was a pretty palm. But right now it had nothing but brown fronds on it with a little bit of green at the top. Okay, so I told her, I said, look, I've got to go downtown to went to my Rotary Club the other day. I said, it lives downtown, so I rode by and looked at this palm. And sure enough, it looks dead. It looks totally dead. But I said, let's give it a chance. Give it to spring and see if it doesn't rebound, because you don't know what kills it, because a sable palm, dry weather doesn't really bother it. Doesn't get a lot of bugs, or really any bugs. Storms don't bother it. So, point is, what could have killed this thing? Well, it's just such a coincidence, because Evan Anderson is the Walton County Extension Service person, and he sent out a bulletin to all these people. I have a little subscription service with the Extension Service to talk about. Here you go, man.
Okay.
You love these words. Here's a new one for you. You ready?
Okay.
Grandoderma.
Oh, gosh.
Grandoderma is a...
Sounds like a skin disease.
It's a disease. it is a disease.
Dermatology.
That attacks palm trees.
Oh.
And only palm trees.
Interesting.
And it's it has a little mushroom. It gets on these palm trees and slowly kills them.
Oh, gosh.
And so what we did on this particular instance, I called a tree surgeon who I know and respect, and I know his knowledge on palm trees. So I said, call him up. Let's get a second opinion here. And sure enough, he says, this palm tree has gotten disease, the grandoderma, and the only solution is to remove the tree.
Oh, no.
That's sad. That's just too bad.
Where does this come from?
Well, nobody knows.
That's weird.
Really, because you look at what, say, you know, like a lot of problems on plants,
right.
You can blame it on cultural reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too much water, too little water, too hot, too
neglect
cold.
Or some neglect outside issue. Yeah.
You know, yeah, somebody hit the weed eater around the edge right. of it or something. But you really don't have any reason for this to happen. It happens all over the state. It's not that it's an epidemic.
Right.
But it certainly has affected palms all over the state. So there's no cure.
Gosh.
Absolutely no cure. And removal of the tree is the only option. And what you should do if you do remove that tree is get as much of the roots and stuff out of there as you possibly can, and probably plant another plant other than a palm in that area where you had to remove that tree.
Does this thing affect other plant life?
No. No,
just
that's the
palm.
Whole thing. You know, your hardwoods and these other trees, it won't. It's a palm.
It's not contagious,
it's
per
se.
It's
a palm problem.
Weird.
Oh, exactly.
And they have no idea what the origin is, where
and
it comes
you know,
from?
So you can't predict. This is what Evan says here. He writes, he says, it's very frustrating. The disease is difficult to predict. There doesn't seem to be any conditions that favor the disease.
Mm.
But that mushroom... gets on there.
And what does it look like in case someone's got a palm that might have this issue? What does it look like?
It's a little white mushroom type thing that as it gets mature, it gets a little brown edge to it. But once you get that,
oh gosh,
I think it's probably too late.
Oh, that's a shame.
I don't know what, you know, I would like to say, oh, we can spray it with this and spray it with that. But not really.
Okay.
Not really. And that, but going back to my original thought about it, I said, well, maybe, you know, we can go ahead and see if the springtime will let it overcome any of these disease problems.
Right.
But then I get this bulletin from Evan that kind of goes right along with what I saw and what the tree surgeon saw.
Right.
So I think we're all three of us on the same page at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sad, but if you have a sable palm, just take a look at it. And if you're having this problem... you may want to call your tree surgeon to have them look at it to verify what we're saying.
Right.
But it's too bad.
Yeah, well, what you're saving yourselves a lot of energy, too. If that's what it is, there's no point in wasting time trying to fix it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't.
Yeah,
can't
exactly. All right. So we are here on the Garden Line, and let's see. We've got a couple of more questions coming in. If you have a question for Mike, 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break here, but we'll be back in just a few minutes on Pep Talk. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and our host. We got called Professor this morning. I kind of like that. Professor Mike Wiggins.
Very nice. Not deserved, but very nice.
I love it. We've been talking about all kinds of things this morning. So right now, we were talking about crepe myrtles. We were talking about
the sad disease.
What's it called? Gamoderma?
Ganoderma.
I was close.
Yeah. It's good.
I almost said gumbo derma, but I knew that wasn't right.
That's better than the Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus that we've talked about.
Thank you. I don't even go in there.
We won't even go there. Sorry.
Sorry, we digress. Okay, what's on your list, sir? You got a couple other things you said.
I just want to talk about a couple things in the fall here. And we've talked about this before, but this really is relatively important. And that's using oil spray on your landscaping. Back in the day, many of our listeners will remember this, we always used Volk oil spray, V-O-L-C-K. It's an ortho product that was very good. What it does is you spray that oil spray on your foundation plants, your ligustrum, your Clara japonica, your sago palms, things like that, and you get it underneath the growth, the foliage, and it kills the scale. It smothers them. The oil smothers them. Scale gets on the back of the leaves, and you'll see it. You take a ligustrum that's got it, turn that leaf over, and it's a bunch of white specks on there.
Oh,
those are insects that literally just suck the juices out of the plant, because what they'll do, they'll suck those juices out, and they turn into, they call it a honeydew. And then that honeydew turns into black, sooty mold. Which keeps the sun from getting on the plant, and the plant has a problem. So you can stop that by using this oil spray. The Volk oil spray problem, using it, was the temperature restrictions. It had to be really kind of right in the middle, not too hot, not too cold. Now, on the market nowadays, I don't know if anybody ever uses Volk anymore, they may, is ultra-fine oil, which has expanded the temperature range at where you can use this product. I think probably in October you would be fine, be sure if you spray your with the ultra-fine oil spray that you do get underneath it. Just spraying on top of the plant, it's not going to do any good.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of got to get that spray nozzle underneath it and spray so you get that material on the leaf so it will smother the scale so you don't end up with that black sooty mold, which ends up in keeping the sun away from the plant.
Right.
So anyway, keep in mind doing that. Also, this is really important to a lot of folks. It just should be to all of us. It's totally organic. Safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe. It's not toxic. It's just an oil spray.
Oh, that's even better.
Oh, exactly. So keep that in mind, the oil spray in the fall and in the spring. Same thing. Spring and
fall.
So
this is a good time for it.
It's a good time. I think back in the day, more people did it than do it now.
Interesting.
Now, if you have a lawn service, a spray service, one like we used to have, and you have signed up for their shrub service, I bet you're getting the oil spray.
Hmm.
But a lot of folks who do it themselves, if you don't really see a problem and you haven't had the scale problem, may pass on it. But it's something that really will help and maybe stave off some problems in the future.
Great. Okay, that's V-O-L-C-K.
That's the one you don't use.
We don't use that one. Okay. See?
We use.
That's why you need me around to ask the dumb questions, buddy.
No. Oh, no.
Okay. So we did get another question here, a little bit different. It says, sir, you identified a few weeks ago a good number to look for in a winterizer. I think these first number was 16. I'm having difficulty finding that. Scott's used to sell a winterizer at the big box stores, but have it for at least 2 years. What can I do?
Well, if you're talking about the number with the first number 16,
mm-hmm.
that was our spring number. That was we really liked that formula, which was 1608.
Okay.
That's for spring.
Oh, okay.
That's for spring. Because if you put a 16% nitrogen on it right now, as we slip into dormancy, it's not going to really do what you want it. Pardon me. Do what you want it to do. No, the 10-5-14 is what we like.
10-5-14.
10-5-14.
Okay.
Now, I would recommend you call Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden and see what formula he's got for a winterizer.
Okay.
It may not be a 10-5-14, but that 14, that last number, is important. And I'm sure he'll have something that will work for you. Exactly. I thought the big box stores had some of that. They may not anymore.
Okay.
Okay,
great question.
It is.
It is
but try Larry. He is really good. And I would also say, going way back to a caller we had earlier, that if you're in the market for that crepe myrtle and you want to identify the color right now, you might run out to his place and see if he's got some in stock that you can identify the color you want. Because that one other person was going to do red.
Right.
To honor her father. Very nice.
Very nice.
So anyway, Larry might have that for you.
Okay, great. Great questions. If you've got a question, there's still some time left at 850-437-1620. Talking about fall and getting ready for winter and all the things we can do to help nourish our yards. And we've got a whole list of things there
we've been talking about this morning. Exactly. One other thing we can talk about, and we've talked about this maybe last year, is that if you're planting citrus, of course, you're kind of rolling the dice a little bit insofar as cold damage is concerned. Well, there's a list of things that one can do to build what the experts would call a microclimate. I call it just protecting the tree from the cold, but yet allowing it to grow and produce.
Right.
So here's just a couple of things that you can do. Number one, any wind block can help.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a citrus and you could, depending on your landscaping, if you can plant it on the south side of your house versus the north side, you may get a little bit more protection than you would if it was on the north side, subject to that north wind and the cold
weather. That's smart.
Also, big oak trees, will trap heat at night. Now, you don't want to take a citrus and plant it underneath a tall oak tree, too much shade. But you can do it sort of on the edge there where you might get a little bit of shade from the oak tree, but also benefit from the heat that it traps.
See, these are all the kinds of things that no one tells you. As you're thinking about, I'd like a citrus tree. I'll just put it right out front
exactly,
here.
Exactly. Okay. Here's another one I like too. Buildings release heat at night.
Oh.
So if you will plant 10 feet from the wall of your house or garage or whatever, then you might benefit from the heat. Okay.
Wow. That's so smart. It makes so much sense.
And here's
sense.
One I never thought about before I read this one. Water releases a lot of heat at night. So plant your citrus very close to your swimming pool.
Really?
Really, yeah. That's what I read. I said, really? Are you kidding me? Okay.
Wow.
But, anything to raise. Because citrus, in my opinion, this is kind of unscientific, when you hit 20 degrees, that's sort of the limit on some of your citrus. Below 20, you're in trouble. You could lose it. You may get some damage above 20, but at 20 is kind of a mark, benchmark, if you will. So if you plant near your swimming pool and you gain 3 or 4 or 5 degrees,
make the difference.
It'll make a big difference. Okay, concrete releases heat. So plant it near driveways or the road and that type of thing. And this is one that probably doesn't, it might apply to it. Probably does apply to a lot of us. Cities are warmer than countryside.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right.
Concrete, lots of concrete.
Lots of concrete, absolutely. And finally, lower elevations get colder than higher.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a low spot in your yard or...
heat rises.
Exactly. So,
okay.
So those are just some hints to do your micro climate, if you will, for citrus.
All right. What great advice. You heard it here on The Garden Line on Pep Talk, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back to The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Mike, we've only got a couple minutes left. We've got one more question that just came in. I'm getting a lot of caterpillars spinning webs in my pecan trees. How damaging is that to my pecan trees?
Well, I don't think it's going to be too much damage.
Or pecan, depending on how you...
Wherever you're from.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah. City. Well, what was it like we talked about in the cities versus the countryside?
I don't know. Pecan trees.
Okay, whatever.
Got some caterpillars in my pecan tree. So whatever it is, what do you do?
Okay. Where were we? Oh, we were talking about the you took me away from
it. Sorry.
No, that is called a tent caterpillar, and it'll get into your pecan trees. And probably the best thing you can do is get you a big rake or a hose or something and just break up that web as best you can. And that's probably all you need to do. Now, what you may do, you may have damage on probably one limb or two limbs, and eventually you may have to prune that out. But insofar as spraying for them, generally they are too high to get to for, just a residential person, a commercial grower could probably do better.
Right.
But I think if you can break up that web with, as I say, a hose or just a long rake that you could rake that stuff out of there, I think you'd be okay. I don't think it's going to be a long-term problem, except you might, like I say, lose a limb or two, but that's about it.
Okay. Got a quick question here. Where did Mike say Larry works to get that info on the
fertilizer? Pensacola Seed and Garden on Mobile Highway.
Okay. Very good. Wow. Once again.
Fun.
Time has flown by with Mike Wiggins. He does such a fabulous job keeping us all informed on all the secrets of gardening. I just told him during the break, gardeners and chefs are all alike. They keep out that one ingredient. Makes all the difference. But you're hearing it here.
Yeah, who knew?
That's who knew? Who knew? Thank you so much, Mike, for sharing your secrets. We appreciate you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Meg.